Members of the HEC who have read the policy address have probably noticed there was special reference made to the work of the HEC, and indeed the Development Bureau's panel paper on initiative of the Bureau in 2008 and 2009 policy address, policy agenda, was issued to members on October 24. We are very much pleased to have Mrs. Carrie Lam, Secretary for Development, with us this afternoon to brief members on the initiative of the Bureau in the policy address and policy agenda. May I invite Carrie to comment on the policy address and agenda, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for giving me another opportunity to come to brief the Harbourfront Enhancement Committee on the annual policy address. As you have been informed beforehand, I would very much like to stay on for the two important agenda items on the Central Wanzhou Bypass and what we are planning for the Central Reclamation Phase 3. But I'm afraid that I might have to be called away at short notice to attend the Legislative Council concluding debate on the policy address because they are moving quicker than we expect. But I'll try to be brief on the first agenda item on the policy address so we could focus on discussing the issues that the various departments have lined up to brief the HEC. Development Bureau's involvement in the policy address, as you can see from the text for this year, is not particularly heavy because last year we have more or less put in what the CE has said that there's a blueprint for the next 5 years. So there is not much reference again to heritage in his policy address proper, because we have already set out through his last policy address in 2007 on the various policy statements and initiatives and plans for pressing ahead with heritage conservation work in Hong Kong in the next 5 years. But we have also reported in the policy agenda booklet all the various things that we are following up. So you can see from the annex attached to the Legislative Council panel paper, there's a full extract of all the things, ongoing initiatives undertaken by the Development Bureau. I'll just briefly touch on the four specific paragraphs in this year's policy address that concerns Development Bureau, and then focus on the harbourfront. Well, first is, of course, a paragraph on the real estate market. I'm sure Mr. Brooke was particularly worried, like some of us in this business, about the impact on the property market as a result of the financial tsunami. So what the CE has reaffirmed, actually it's not something new, but reaffirmed that we will stand by the market-driven approach in supplying land for property development. This is very important at this point in time because there are a lot of property owners who could get very worried if suddenly they were thrown back into the negative equity situation that they have painfully experienced several years back. The second paragraph is on the regional integration between Hong Kong, Guangdong, and Shenzhen, where Development Bureau is in charge of the Lok Ma Chau Loop. So the two respective governments, Hong Kong and Shenzhen, have through various public involvement, and I'm happy to say that even the Shenzhen government has a lot of buy-in in what we call the public engagement these days. So they have conducted actually as many workshops and public forums as we had over the summer months, consulting with their stakeholders, members of public and academia on the land use for the Lok Ma Chau Loop. So by and large, on the two sides, there is a general consensus on the three main possible land uses for this area, which are now highlighted in the policy address, i.e. higher education, R&D, high tech, and also creative industries. So hopefully before the end of this year, we will work further to establish the framework for the detailed study into that particular area. The third paragraph is really to report on an outstanding issue arisen from last year's policy address where the CE has agreed to let us take out from last year's application list, in fact also this year's application list for land sale, this former Hollywood Road Merit Police headquarters for 1 year. So we have now decided once and for all that the site which houses the former central school has its historical significance, so it will be removed once and for all from sale, and would be put to public engagement and consultation on its alternative uses, basically along the lines of education, in order to respect the interpretation we're going to give to this site, and also, again, creative industry and in line with the ambience of Hollywood Road, so that we could fulfill what we have been preaching about an area-based approach to heritage conservation and revitalization. Finally, I come to this very short paragraph, paragraph 105, on beautifying the harbourfront. As the chairman has mentioned, the CE has paid particular tribute to this particular committee for its work on coming up with a lot of good ideas on how to enhance the harbourfront for the enjoyment of the people of Hong Kong as well as for local overseas visitors. To me, the importance of this paragraph lies not so much in the usual policy address stuff of laying out a lot of new initiatives and so on, but really to get at the highest level that I could or we could from the mouth of the chief executive to express his passion for preserving the harbourfront for future generations. So with this CE's mandate, it does gives a lot more significance to the work that we are doing within the administration and in society as a whole. But specifically, what the CE has given us is first that the Development Bureau will have this overall coordinating role. As I've been telling some people on private occasion, I would very love this coordinating, this word coordinate, be given even a higher tone of steering or mandating, but that's not the way the administration operates. I'm happy with having this very explicit role to coordinate. And, in fact, not put explicitly is the CE's agreement that if that coordination should fail, in other words, we face some major hurdles or obstacles, then he said that I could approach the higher level. And on this particular occasion, he asked that he's quite happy for the FS to steer meetings to sort out inter-bureau difficulties, if there should be any, in our future work in taking forward harbourfront enhancement. So I particularly want to impress upon this committee that the job is not just a secretary for development, but it does have higher level blessing to do more on enhancing the Victoria Harbour. The second is in terms of a little bit of resource enhancement to enable us to do better this coordinating role is we have been given modest increase in resources, in staffing resources to set up a dedicated task force. This would not be meeting in full some of the aspirations for a much higher level authority type of institution, but to kickstart the work in overall coordination and liaising with stakeholders, various forums and district councils, a dedicated task force would be very helpful. That would comprise only three staff headed by a principal assistant secretary, which we still have to go through the legislative council to create those the post. By and large, this is not the occasion in the policy address to lay out individual initiatives to do this promenade, that waterfront, and so on. But it is a commitment from the highest level, which will give us the sort of blessing in our future work. At my level, of course, I have been preparing for this paragraph for several months, and also to ensure that I do have the time and attention to focus on Harbourfront. I hope you will appreciate that as a principal official, there is only that time for me to look into one or two priority areas at any point in time. The last 12 months have been spent very much on heritage and also pressing ahead with Hong Kong's infrastructure. I have told myself, and I'm assuring you now, that I would try my very best to put as much time and attention on harbourfront matters as possible in the coming year. So in the last 5 or 6 months, I've been traveling to several cities with waterfront, harbourfront, just to learn, although the trips are not driven by harbourfront visits, but it's normally with a conference and like this and that. But I've seen how Sydney Harbour has been managed and developed, how the South Bank has revitalised London, how Battery Park City Authority has transformed the Lower Manhattan waterfront, and I look forward to using some of those ideas and inspirations in working with the HEC in future on harbourfront enhancement in Hong Kong. So I suggest I'll just stop here if members do have any particular ideas or questions you want to ask about the policy address or about our vision for harbourfront enhancement. But I'm very pleased to answer. Thank you, Chairman.
Very much, Gary. Thank you. Any comment, feedback? Okay, please.
Chairman, if I may, I'm to say how pleased I think I am, and I imagine other members of the committee are, by to see the support at the very senior level. I mean, one of the challenges I think we've always faced, and I think we still face, is the lack of a champion, if you like. And Mrs. Lamb, obviously, we have a champion, but as she quite rightly points out, she has a whole range of responsibilities. It's very, I think, encouraging to know that the harbour is now on the Chief Executive's radar screen, if I may put it that way, and that if we do get stuck, we know we can go, as Mrs. Lamb suggested, to the FS and ask him to shake loose the logjam. So I see this as a very encouraging message of support, if I may put it that way. Thank you.
Thanks, Nick. Yes, Andrew, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I certainly support that as a response. I'd kind of add, in looking more broadly at the paper that we were presented today, I landed on the sustainable built environment area, which kind of fits at the heart of a lot of the discussion. It's not specifically harbourfront, but it really talks to where we want to be in terms of Hong Kong in a sort of quality living environment, the sort of city we want to shape. And I noted the tie-in with the Council for Sustainable Development. And just swapping hats quite quickly, as a member of the strategy subcommittee of the council, conscious of some of the work we've done previously, particularly on urban living space. And I think that the community was consulted quite widely, and whilst it wasn't exactly the same topic, many of the same issues would come to the fore. And I think, in some regards, I think I would sort of advocate for looking at what the community said in that urban living space public engagement programme, perhaps before diving into another round and seeing what could be moved forwards more quickly. Because I'm just very conscious of the resources of public engagement are limited, as always. And also the feedback of the community is by nature in these quite broad areas going to be somewhat similar, I would imagine. So again, we're looking at resource efficiency and how to make best use of the resources that you have, limited as they will be, moving forwards. Thank you.
Vincent and then Paul. Okay.
多謝主席，同埋都即係多謝局長，即係喺嗰個同我哋港返嗰個施政報告嗰個部分，即係身為共建為港委員會成員咁多年呢，我相信即係喺施政報告見到呢一個段落，都應該係相當驚喜嘅。我相信我哋過去其實都為咗推動嗰個海港規劃同埋有更多嘅即係公共空間，讓市民可以接近海邊。 即係我哋呢度係大家有一個共同理想，但我相信喺過去我哋工作裏面，其實除咗呢個共同理想之外，我哋係碰到同樣嘅共同問題嘅，好多時即係有心去做一樣嘢，但係都發覺即係最後係即係遇到好多障礙。咁尤其是即係我自己主持嗰個小組委員會，即係為推動一啲即係喺海濱嘅一啲 quick win project 啦。 咁其實喺多年來呢，即係我哋好開心做西九同埋即係灣仔啦，咁但係即係對最近亦都好似有些少即係 即停滞不前嘅感觉。咁我哋啱啱就喺观塘度，即係政府话俾200米嘅海滨去做嗰个观塘海滨，但係呢啱啱西九嗰边呢就俾人攞咗200米呢就去做地盤。咁我相信其实即係海滨有好多地方呢係即需要即政府大力去推动，同埋真係要疏通即政府部门之间嗰个经脉囉。咁我希望就係话即而家即既然即行政长官都即关注到呢件事，同亦都了解到我哋嘅工作同埋困难嘅时候，我希望可以即让局长可以即加把劲去帮我哋去美化嗰个海滨啦。咁即本人对于即局长刚才即提出嘅一啲即有关施政报告嘅一啲即做法咧，系表示支持嘅。多谢主席。
他叫 Vincent Paul, please.
I am, and on the society of the Hessian Harbour, we welcome this move. We think this is a fantastic way forward and a good timing for it as well. A few points of concerns to raise as we move forward. The task force and secretary has already suggested that its powers are still somewhat limited versus the powers that may possibly be required. Remember, in 2004, we listed all the conflicting demands for the harbour front. And as this is the final bits of land on our core harbour, in our core urban area, those demands only continuously increase. But we're not going to have any more. So how are we going to spread and how are we going to use those last bits of land in the most appropriate way is a very challenging discussion. There's a lot of trade-offs to be made. So reading the policy address, the policy agenda and the address, there is a mention, for example, of further expansion of the Convention Exhibition Centre, which would draw more traffic onto the roads in Wanchai, which is, of course, in clear conflict with this concept of fixing the harbour front. And there are challenges, and is that the right way of going forward? Other challenges that I can see immediately is in the policy address, when it talks about harbour front, there seems to be a simplification to the issue of beautifying and promenades. And of course, it's not just an issue of promenades. It will be an issue of more than promenades, far more challenging issues of how to make these waterfronts lively and active. Again, this is very challenging to be addressed. And we are just very concerned that as the issue of density in the city has now been simplified to height restrictions, we're going to simplify the issue of harbour fronts to promenades, and it's dangerous because then ultimately district councils are going to say, well, we're going to have a promenade in my district and in my district, and then how are we going to deal with the commercial users for the waterfront and the marine users for the waterfront? And a promenade maybe cannot only be on the waterfront but has to maybe set back sometimes. So I'm a bit worried about those two issues. There's two more issues in the policy address and agenda that strike me as well. The call for more footbridges and tunnels. And I was very happy to be in New York at the same time the secretary was there and the discussion about how do you increase density but make it work in the city. And this discussion of focusing on the street level and making sure that footbridges and tunnels do not take the focus away from the obligation to make the street level work is very important, especially in the waterfront, because street level is the same level as the water, and therefore how we deal with that, footbridges and tunnels and people off the ground, is somewhat of a conflict, as we can see in front of the Peninsula Hotel. Yesterday I was with the office that is working on Kai Tak, and the issue when going through with CEDD through the issue of the planning of Kai Tak, and we've done the broad land use plan. Now the CEDD is working on the engineering plan. But when we do work on the engineering plan, where is the input from the community? And now the thing that we may going to see in the future in front of us is that the detailed planning are going to be on a side-by-side basis for those organizations who within the government or otherwise responsible for each individual site. And thereby we may lose the overall concept of developing a master plan that works. And specific examples in that discussion came out. There are cycle tracks everywhere in Kai Tak, so we can be very happy people can cycle. But I've pointed out a number of the places where the children are going to live, that are going to own those cycles, and I was asking how are the kids going to go from these homes to the cycle tracks, because these cycle tracks are going to be enormous appealing to these kids to go cycling every Sunday morning. They're going to have friends, they're going to find friends who are going to cycle on the cycle tracks, but how are they going to get home? In Chung Kwan O, last year a kid got killed went between the cycle tracks and home, because the last 50 meters of the cycle track didn't exist. And they don't exist in the plans for Kai Tak either. And we haven't dealt with that issue. And I'm just pointing it out that unless we are engaged in the detailed planning for the waterfront at an overall level and continuously, we cannot stop at a broad land use layout plan. We have to be continuously involved because there is a need for continuous improvement on the plans as we move towards the final details. And that required a process and an involvement of community and various organizations, not necessarily the district councils, because district councils may have local requirements, which could be an entire conflict with territorial requirements. So on that basis, there's going to be a lot of work between the HCC and the task force, but I think we'll have to focus very clearly on the process of doing that. Thank you, Chairman.
Thanks, Paul. Chidata has... And then, okay.
Thank you, Chairman. It's encouraging to hear that there is movement on towards achieving a harbourfront, which is good for Hong Kong. So I think we are getting to a common goal finally, and from the highest level, which is good. I wondered whether, as part of the commitment of the task force, there is any, 1 year, 5 year, or 20-year plan that you'd be looking at, or so that there is more integrated vision of the harbour front, how everything would fit in, and what needs to be done, in the next 1 year. Like, people are waiting in Hong Kong to actually see the harbour front enhancement actually take place, because we've been talking for a long time, and they want to see something actually on the ground. So it would be good to see if their priority, smaller implementation can be done immediately or in the near future, and then taken on board the long-term visions. And most important, I think, to actually look to make sure that the entire harbour front is actually looked upon as an integrated harbour plan, rather than things happening in different districts that may not necessarily actually work well together. So I think the task force should take this opportunity in working, I guess, with HEC to ensure this to happen sooner than later. Thank you.
Thank you. Nick and then Patrick.
Chairman, there was one just issue of detail that I thought I might raise while we have the Secretary, and that is the issue of engagement. I mean, this is obviously where we're going to suffer the loss of Dr. Chan perhaps the most. Again, at the presentations on the temporary reclamation at the weekend, the word consensus was expressed, if you like, or used by many of the government officials that we're near consensus, or we hope to achieve consensus. I think, and I've made this point to Mrs. Lamb before and other government officials, that model is flawed, quite frankly, particularly in the context of some of the controversial issues that we face, or difficult issues, rather, that we face in terms of the enhancement of the waterfront. And it's a suggestion, if you wish, but it applies to this committee, but I think it applies particularly to senior government officials, that I think we should move, if you like, to what I describe as the majority model, where you have a serious majority in favour of a proposal. You should have the courage and the strength and the conviction to move forward with that proposal. And I certainly, as a member of this committee, would support that approach. I think there will always be, invariably, in these difficult cases, a minority who are unwilling or unable to be convinced. But provided they have their say, and provided they're heard and it's explained to them why their minority view is not sustainable in the overall interest of the community at large, I think we should be sufficiently brave, if you like, to proceed on that basis. And Chairman, the suggestion for us as a committee, but it's a particular suggestion to the administration, that we move to that model in terms of these difficult decisions on the harbour, because otherwise, if we, I'm concerned that if we stick to the consensus model, we will literally get stuck. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Patrick, please.
多謝主席。剛才咧都聽到邵渣頭同阿坡嘅一啲意見咧，關於嗰、那個喺啲地區性嘅一啲規劃工作咧，其實我有另外一個睇法嘅。咁今次個施政報告裏邊咧，佢係好直接、好清楚咁講到話會盡力係興建或者規劃一個海濱長廊。其實我知道，相信這個呢個咧係直接回應咗啊而家社區市民嘅一個好清晰嘅一個訴求啊，就係好多大家都聽到啦嚇，即係好多每個區咧都希望佢個區裏邊咧有一條好好嘅海濱長廊。咁呢個咧，即係喺我哋喺地區或者區議會聽到呢個消息咧，都相當興奮嘅嚇。呢個係好直接嘅一個好清楚嘅信息。咁至於話跟住話點樣去規劃其他地方，當然啦，呢個係需要即係再進一步去研究。但我相信呢一樣嘢咧，就係比較清晰嘅一個信息俾到地區，俾到市民知道咧，就佢哋嘅訴求咧，政府係聽得到，係有一個直接嘅回應。我相信呢個係好緊要嘅，因為而家咧就好多市民咧喺嗰個海濱上面咧進行好多活動咧，都係喺一啲即係比較危險嘅狀況下釣魚啊，或者喺上面踩單車啊，都係唔係咁理想嘅。所以個海濱長廊係相當重要。另一個咧就我想回應啦，就究竟嗰、那個那個做法係點樣咧？咁剛才聽到好多我哋嘅委員咧都講到話我哋係需要一個好綜合性，即係一個 master plan 或者個 integrated planning。我嘅睇法咧就其實如果我哋講緊嗰個海濱咧，就好正正咧，我哋需要一個咧係另外一個諗法嘅，即係一個而家最國際好大嘅趨勢都係 decentralisation。咁咧，我哋喺區議會嘅層面亦都討論過，就話究竟我哋係咪需要，譬如我哋東區咁啊，全條東區就係一個海濱長廊嘅規劃，抑或我哋係每一個細區都有佢嘅特色，然後保證咗佢哋嘅聯繫性咧，咁然後令到嗰個海濱長廊或者個海濱區咧更加豐富，更突顯到地區嘅特色咧咁樣。咁呢個咧就我相信政府係喺規劃嘅時候咧係需要去考慮，因為呢個咧完全係兩個唔同、好唔同嘅 approach。咁呢樣嘢其實喺國際好多規劃會議都討論過啊，佢哋都好奇怪點解香港都仲係用一種比較保守嘅一種 master planning 嘅一種形式，其實好多第二度地方都放棄咗嘅，佢純粹係從一啲地區出發，由下而上，然後將佢連接起上嚟咧，就變成一條非常之豐富、非常之有當地特色嘅一個海濱規劃。咁相信咧呢方面咧，我諗大家係需要進一步去研究究竟我哋 approach 係應該點樣做法咧啊！多謝主
席。Carol, please.
Actually, we are very pleased that the Secretary come here to tell us about the latest developments. We are glad to hear that there's a top management support from the government about the committee work. But on the other hand, it made me quite worried about it. So we don't know whether, because it presents a picture that probably there are some resistance from other departments, about the bureau, about how to proceed to improve the harbourfront. So I'd just like to ask whether there's this is a policy issue or implementation problem. Is there after a few years already from a few years ago, so about the proper debate on the way to develop and manage our harbour, whether there is an existence of a policy visions to share by all the bureau, all the departments to, so that they can have some common vision already, or is that they're still too fragmented? So each department may have, a bureau may have its own vision, own policy goal, so that there will be consistently in the future a lot of obstacle for the management and the further development of the harbour. That's my point. I hope that.
我请局长就各位委员刚才嘅提问做个综合回应，好吗？
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I may, I start with the last question from Carlos. I wouldn't say that there is a disagreement within the administration amongst bureau on the important significance of a harbourfront and this wish to create for people of Hong Kong a continuous promenade for enjoyment. But we have to appreciate and accept that we are not operating from sort of clean slate. There's a lot of historical things, baggage and legacy, because Victoria Harbour is still performing some functions. It's still a working harbour per se. In fact, even Sydney Harbour, when I was there, I was just told of another initiative of the Sydney Foreshore Harbourfront Authority, that they managed to persuade the city government to spend a huge sum of money to buy up a cement plant, something of that, so that it could remove these ships and boats going into the Sydney Harbour to that particular plant, which is needed, but they asked it to relocate to an area near the airport. But in our case, as you would appreciate, we have the need for the public cargo handling area, serving the Hong Kong's container business. We also have this typhoon shelters serving the needs of boats seeking shelter during a typhoon. So it just needs time to plan before we could really achieve or deliver the vision that we have. So in a way, I just want to respond to Dr. Gavada's point about overall planning, timetable and things. This is much dictated by how fast we could overcome some of those problems. So I would say that instead of giving a particular time frame, perhaps at future meetings, we could present what we call the longer medium, the long-term, medium, and short-term. In fact, most of our short-term are the quick wins. I have taken note of Vincent's point. We perhaps need to move even quicker on the quick wins by resolving some of the impasse within either Development Bureau's group of departments or with other departments. But in the longer-term issues, it really requires replanning, as the CE has highlighted in that short paragraph. It requires taking a considered view on what to do with those economic activities taking place in the harbour. For example, Vincent mentioned this 200 metres we managed to get from Kwun Tong. Of course, as a Secretary for Development and a champion for Harbourfront, I would like to take back the whole strip of Kwun Tong and Cha Kwo Leng. But that means removing all those PCWA operators, and without adequate time to prepare that, it would mean job loss. It would mean significantly affecting the recycling industry. Within the administration, this particular topic has been discussed amongst the three secretaries, myself, Secretary of Environment, Secretary for Transport and Housing. I can assure you that there is no dissent amongst the three secretaries that we need to do something, but we just need the time to do it, and also to persuade the operators and to find them alternative places to operate and so on and so on. So this is hopefully the approach that we are taking to take forward our work on harbourfront enhancement. On Patrick's point about decentralization, in fact, I tend to agree with you that perhaps it should not be centralized top-down planning for the harbour. There's no way why we could not allow individual strips to be developed with local characteristics and then try to connect them up later on. The example of the Tsing Yi North Promenade, which is highly commended in the report by the Business Harbourfront Forum, is in fact a continuous promenade formed by four projects. It was designed and built and developed by four developers, including the MTRC. So each have its little characteristic. For example, the strip done by MTRC, because of this connectivity to the Tsing Yi Marina Square, it has a lot more vibrance and sitting out areas and so on, whereas the other, because they are developed by private estates, so it tend to be more passive areas. So, but now it is a continuous promenade under LCSD, but we still retain the characteristics. Even the public lighting is different. The paving is slightly different. So I think that is something that we could explore. And it also takes into account the local characteristics. By the way, even Sydney's Harbourfront Foreshore Authority is formed by combining three, the Darling Harbour and this Wulu Mulu something. So they don't start up with one very nicely laid out grandiose authority. They allow things to develop first and then try to put them together again. So I feel that now that we have the WKCD authority overseeing the planning of the promenade in this 40 hectare site, there's no reason why we could not do other things in other parts, and then later on consider whether Hong Kong would benefit from an overall authority on the harbour front. There's no need really to argue at this stage on whether we should be controlling even the WKCD promenade, because that is just too ambitious a target to set for ourselves. On public engagement, I certainly share Nick's view. In fact, I said similar things yesterday at the LegCo debate. I plead for the LegCo members to give us more faith and room and to move forward. We could not always operate on a complete consensus. There's just no way these days. So where we feel that we are acting in a public interest, even collaborating with private sector should not be regarded as collusion. It should be just a way of getting things done in the Hong Kong contest. So I hope Paul will bear with us if sometimes we are taking things into our own hand, because we cannot keep on engaging and engaging without having done something. So Kai Tak is a very good example. Now that we are move on to implementation, the engineering studies will have to be taken on by the engineering departments and thereafter by the works agents to deliver. But of course, at every stage, for example, Kai Tak, where's John? John Chai. There will be another public engagement because of the EIA. Kai Tak is subject to a Schedule 3 EIA, so people will still have a chance to look at whether the Kai Tak development fulfills the environmental standards. Finally, I just want to respond to Andrew's point about green buildings. Although the several paragraphs in the policy address on sustainable and green built environment belong to the Secretary for Environment, but I'm a strong supporter of him on those initiatives, because 89% of Hong Kong's energy or electricity consumption stems from the building, so it's very important for us to make sure our buildings are energy efficient. We have already done a couple of studies arisen from what Andrew mentioned from a Sustainable Development Council on Urban Space. With a sustainable urban design, we will be reviewing the findings before the end of this year, together with a whole package of other things that have been bothering us on what green buildings are. There's green balconies, the sky gardens, there's building setback and things like that. And I'm sure Andrew and others will be pleased to hear that the Sustainable Development Council has again been kind enough to help over this engagement, like what they have done over the air pollution, because they have a very successful way of engaging the community. And as far as we are concerned, because we are, I'm overseeing the buildings department, the building codes, and also I have the Construction Industry Council under my purview. So these various parties will now join hands with the industry, including, of course, Andrew's Business Environment Council, the Hong Kong BEAM, the PG, the Professional Green Building Council, to hopefully establish Hong Kong's first Green Building Council by the end of this year. So in future, I'm sure the HEC could have things to interact and work with the Green Building Council on a sustainable and green environment. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. 時間關係，我哋仲有幾個 item， 除非大家仲有啲咩要 follow up 問嘅。Any further comment? Paul, you want to say something?
Yeah, I'd like to fill in a few issues. The issue of commercial users and the marine users. I think the harbour front has marine users and has commercial users. We need transfer stations. We are commercial users. We're going to need on the waterfront. And I think even in Kung Tong, it's an issue of trying to mitigate the land use related to that marine use, in terms of its impact on the environment, but there is no necessarily a need to get rid of it. I think we'll have to live with a mix. We cannot have the entire Victoria Harbour One public open space promenade. I think we have to find ways of living with our commercial users and integrating them in the waterfront, and we have to educate the public to expect that. We cannot have everybody trying to get rid of everything that's on our waterfront. We have to integrate and we have to live those together, and we can find very creative solutions. I would love to take my kids to an area where they can actually see the barges working, as I do sometimes, and it's a nice thing to look at. but it's some of the areas may not be easily to walk around or to circumnavigate those areas, because that might then not be possible. So if we can mitigate, I think we can make them work. Just an issue on the majority. This has been something that I've been thinking about quite a bit, because quite often we've been said that's just a minority voice. But I don't think one can expect that everybody studies the plans to the point that we do, look at the design and engineering standard of our cycle tracks and footpaths and the detailed plan of P2, what it's going to be there. And the number of people in Hong Kong that are going to actually know the exact details of those plans are by nature very few. There are maybe 25 people in this city that other than the consultants who have actually looked in detail at those plans. So how are we going to put them down as a minority, or are we going to say the majority of the educated minority? But I think it's the issue of minority and majority. I think we have to look at that somewhat carefully. There is absolutely no desire on our side to slow down any progress on any projects, and certainly not in Kai Tak, because it would be entirely counterproductive. Because then the community would start pushing even harder for getting things done and not looking at things. What we're trying to suggest is that there's got to be a process of continuous improvement by having people involved early, even during the engineering stage, and later on with the detailed planning stage. Because if they are, then by the time funding gets requested, there is not going to be a late identification during a gazetting period or during a fundraising in LegCo, when all the details have already been done, that there are issues, and then they have to be readdressed again, and they will slow down the process. So an early engagement, I think, will help to speed up the process. But I'm sure that it takes some care to make sure that it does not become an obstacle, but actually a supporting function. So those are the three points I wanted to raise in response. Thank you.
再一次多謝局長今日抽時間來跟我們分享關於policy address的有關 Harbourfront 的issue，也很多謝局長一貫很重視、很支持HCC的工作。 在座很多HCC的成員都記得， 其實就是2004年初 局長一手推動和促成了HCC的成立。 當年如果沒有這個軟件和這份努力， 也沒有今天的HCC。 我們再多謝一次局長對HCC工作的支持。